Welcome to the Strategic Tech Coaching Podcast. Our host, Oscar Endermo, will together with guests share proven, tested strategies for improving your life and business. At the end of each episode, you will learn how you can use technology to implement those strategies into your daily life. We want to help you bridge the gap from inspiration to implementation.
Welcome to another episode of the Strategic Tech Coaching Podcast. This is actually an old episode from the pandemic 2020 that I'm releasing again or releasing here on the Strategic Tech Coaching Podcast. And some background. One of the things that I did when the lockdown happened, at the time I was living in Dubai and we had a very strict lockdown in Dubai, is that I sat down with a piece of paper and a pen. And I wrote down, on the first I answered the question, what industries will do better because of the pandemic, was one of the questions that I brainstormed. And the other thing was, like, my business was basically team buildings, events, training and speaking. And all of this was actually illegal at the time. So when your business that you built up over many years suddenly is illegal, it's kind of difficult to operate. So the second question is, okay, I can't do my team buildings in the desert, I can't do my speaking gigs, but what can I do? And then try to focus on that, because I knew I would be locked up for a couple of weeks at the time. But yeah, at the end we were, I think, almost locked up for 2 months. And anyway, so one of the two things I wrote down was find amazing guests for my podcast. And the second one was try to be on other people's podcasts. So during April and May of 2020, I had some really cool guests on the podcast. I had, for example, Kjell Enhager. He's kind of like the Sweden's Tony Robbins. Ben Furman, a Finnish psychologist. I had Dr. Richard Gordon. He's an American mental trainer that worked with a lot of Olympian and Leaf athletes. I had Al Pitcher, who's a Swedish stand-up comedian, quite famous in Sweden. So I had some amazing guests. So this was one of those things that actually was doing better during the pandemic because people had time. So if you haven't listened to those episodes, I recommend you to go back and listen to those episodes because, yeah, they're quite interesting, all these guests. And the second thing was then to be on other people's podcasts. So I reached out to a lot of podcasts and asked if they needed a guest. And during spring of 2020 and summer of 2020, I was on several podcasts. And one guy that I spoke with was Peter Larson. And we recorded the episode in English. And he has a podcast called The Flawed. And he has some really interesting guests that I recommend you to listen to. If you speak Swedish, he has, for example, interviewed Anders Olsson, Lars-Erik Unestål, and Tommy Blom, who is a kettlebell guy and like a martial arts guy that I really like. And also, he has a couple of episodes in English. One, for example, is with a guy called Patrick McCowan, who is behind Oxygen Advantage. So I recommend you to listen to the Flawed podcast. So I put a link to this on the show notes. But I asked Peter if I could re-share the episode that we did on his podcast, on my podcast, because I recently re-listened and I found that, there was an interesting discussion. We both share a lot of common interests. For example, using technology for personal development. He works a lot with Evernote, for example. And also, we both like Jim Rohn. So, yeah, we had a fun conversation. So I asked him if I could reshare it here on the Strategic Tech Coaching Podcast. So first step, listen to this interview. Next step, go to the Flawed Podcast and listen to a few more episodes that Peter has done. So here we go.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to, once again, an epic episode, I hope, with Oscar Endermo. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
So if you meet someone at a cocktail party or you have to introduce yourself, someone that hasn't met you before, what do you tell them what you do?
Yes, I'm a Dubai-based entrepreneur and also a speaker and a coach. And I coach mainly ambitious leaders and entrepreneurs to a happy, successful, productive life. Something like that. Depending on who I meet, of course.
Of course. So, I mean, you live in Dubai. If we start there, tell the audience, I mean, how you started to travel and how come you ended up in Dubai? Because you're Swedish, yeah. As me.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So I've been living in Dubai now since 2007. Time goes fast. So I grew up on a small island outside Stockholm and pretty like Swedish, you know, very homogenic place. And but when I was 14, 15, I went to England on a language course. These 4 weeks, you know, on the south coast of England to study English. And I came home and I was like a new person. I learned so much. I grew as a person, and I got to make out with an Italian girl. You know, maybe that was part of it. Oh, my wife is listening to this. So okay, I came home with like self-confidence, and my self-confidence really grew. So I think I kind of associated traveling with that already at the time. So when I graduated high school, I just wanted to travel and see the world. So I picked an industry where you can do that. So I decided to go into the hospitality industry to start working for hotels. So I worked, I studied in Switzerland, I studied in Australia, and also lived in different parts of the world. I lived in Greece and Germany, and I lived in Indonesia for some time. And then 2007, I was working for a hotel in Sweden. I was working for Sheraton Stockholm. And I was in sales, so we went on a trip to Dubai, all the salespeople, and I was got fascinated by Dubai. Dubai is very international; it's very like global. It's people from all over the world in a big mix. So I was thinking, well, maybe I should move to Dubai. So start dreaming about moving, and then made an action plan, and eventually I got a job in Dubai. And 2007, I made the move to Dubai, start working for a hotel here in Dubai. And then since 2009, I have had my own business down here. So,
have you ever thought about moving back to Sweden or to some other place?
Yeah, every summer. Dubai is 45, 50 degrees in the summer. So it's very hot in the summer. And I like I said, I grew up on an island, so I really like the Swedish summers. So yeah, in the summer, sometimes I think about, oh, maybe I should move back to Sweden. But yeah, we'll see. We still like it down here. It's an interesting place. A lot of things are happening. It's very fast. We have the World Expo coming up that was supposed to happen now 2020, but now it looks like it will be postponed to 2021. But that's something, it's a massive event down here where they will showcase innovations from all over the world. So yeah, 2021 is going to be an interesting year. So, but yeah, one day I'll definitely move back to Sweden.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You mentioned World Expo. When we're recording this for maybe our grandkids or whatever, there's a huge pandemic. And Sweden is still open, so I can move pretty freely, keeping a safe distance, of course. But how is the life in Dubai at the moment?
Yeah, no, we are in prison, you may say. We're locked up. To curb the pandemic, we are not allowed to go out only for necessary, like grocery shopping, so we'll go to the pharmacy. And when you do that, you need to apply on a website, basically. So you go to the website and say what you're going to do, where you're going, how long you're going to be out. And then you get an SMS back to say if you're approved or not. And I cannot go shopping with my wife. We can only go one at a time. So, yeah, it's a pretty different situation. And, I guess the government are listening to their advisors and doing what they think is best. But, yeah, my personal opinion is that I think Sweden is doing the right thing with more freedom. And you know. So, yeah, here it's pretty strict, actually.
How is that? I mean, from you're a mental coach as well. So how is the mental aspect of that being locked up involuntarily?
Yeah, no, exactly. It's I'm certified in mental training. And in mental training, we talk about mental toughness training. And this is a little bit mental toughness training too. It's interesting, but I think Nelson Mandela was like locked up 27 years in a small cell. So a few weeks like this with Netflix, I think we'll be okay. But I know, but it's keeping those activities that keep going with those activities. So like physical training, for example, I think it's very important these times. So I have my kettlebells at home, which I'm very happy for, to have a home-based gym now. So I can do my kettlebells. And I also try to do mental training every day or meditation every day. And to keep the sanity, because also I live with my wife, and you sometimes start having small arguments, some kind of physical training, and then also doing some kind of meditation or mindfulness practice or mental training practice, I think is very, very important during these days. I've been doing it for many years, but for the listeners, if you haven't, then this is a good time to start, because I think you're spending a lot of time at home. So turn off Netflix and do a meditation practice as well instead. I know you did mental training 2009, the Unestål concept.
Correct.
And that you do, that you said that you were doing a daily meditation. I think that's great. Mm. I think everyone should do it. And if you're not doing it, this is a good time to start.
Okay, Oscar. So if I'm playing devil's advocate, then I have to ask you, why should I do meditation? And what kind of meditation do you recommend?
Mm. Yeah. No, so... it's quite interesting. Now, most people in Sweden, I think majority of the people do some kind of physical exercise, some kind of physical training, more than in other countries, I believe. Like whenever I'm in Stockholm in the summer, you see a lot of people running. I don't know. But physical training is, everyone knows the importance of physical training. But 100 years ago, no one was doing any physical training because we were doing physical jobs, So now we're most of the time are sitting down in our jobs, so we need that physical training. But another thing that has happened with new technologies is that there's so much impressions, there's so many distractions, there's so many things that are happening. So there's so much stimulation in our brain. So I really believe that maybe 10 years from now, everyone will do some kind of meditation or mindfulness, or because there's just so much stimulation, so we need something to calm the mind down, basically. And this thing with meditation, you asked which meditation I would recommend. The thing is that I think everyone that does some kind of meditation fall in love with their method. So I met people that are in love with Vipassana. I met people that are in love with transcendental meditation. Met people that are into mindfulness. My base is mental training, which is the Unestål method, which is slightly different than meditation because you're more active. But that's my base. And then once you've gone through the mental training, then you can experiment with other things as well. And now I'm doing a mindfulness course at the moment, actually. So I'm doing a daily mindfulness meditation. But for those that want to that are thinking about starting, I always recommend to start with guided meditations. And there's so many on YouTube. So you can just search for guided meditations, like guided mindfulness meditations. And there's an app called Oak. There's a lot of meditation apps, but I like Oak because it's free and you can set the timer. So you can start with like 5 minutes. They have like breathing, loving kindness meditations, and mindfulness meditations, I believe. So just start with a shorter one, like 5 minutes, because in the beginning, your mind will just like... So you can start with a shorter one, and guided ones, I think, is the easiest way to start. So that's... the mental training that you also went through, it's a sequence of guided meditations that you do over like 4 to 6 months. So that's a longer program. And for me, that was the best thing that I ever done. So like I said, some people are into Vipassana and some people are into transcendental meditation. I really like mental training and the way that Unestål have designed the program, because you start by learning to go into the deeper states with the muscular relaxation and this. So you learn to go into the alternative state of mind, and then you learn to put suggestions into your subconscious mind. So I think it's a very good base for everyone. If they want to learn more about that, they can listen to your interview with Unestål, and I have also interviewed Unestål a few times on my podcast. He's a fascinating guy.
Yeah, I mean, he's a great guy. In the Flood podcast, it's episode 54. It's in Swedish. So for the Swedish listeners, that's a great way to start. He is like the godfather or the father, pretty much, of mental training. So I find it fascinating that I have talked to him. And now that I'm talking to you, Oscar, which has underwent a lot of trainings from Une Ståhl and also implemented it and also teach it.
Yes.
So that's great to hear it from like the creator. He created it, I guess, in the, I don't remember, 60s or 70s. Something.
Yeah.
And now, I mean, 40, 50 years later, we still, I mean, then I think he's quite a successful guy and also a very humble guy.
Yeah, he's very humble. They had a 50-year anniversary in, I think, November 2019.
Oh.
I was there at the celebration, and it was so funny because the person from the hotel that came and welcomed us and everyone that was there, she was the salesperson in the hotel, and she had like an opening speech, and she said, in the 90s, I had one dream, and that was to become the best swimmer in the world. And she didn't win the Olympics, but I believe she won the Euro. She was the best swimmer in Europe, and she had so many gold medals in from Sweden at the Swedish Championships. And she said, "I listen to Une Ståhl every day." So, like, he never met her before, and but still, she used his method to become one of the. I think she had a bronze medal maybe from the Olympics, so top three in the world. Mm-hmm. And the top in Europe. So it was pretty cool. There's a lot of stories like this, you know.
Yeah. Do you remember her name? Just for the curious listeners.
No, I don't remember. I can find out, but I don't remember.
Or let's leave it to the curious listeners. You send it to me if you can figure out who it is. It can't be that many persons. But let's circle back to finding the calm and mental toughness. You mentioned mental toughness. I mean, let's say that I contact you. I want to improve my, for instance, I don't know, my mental toughness at work, for instance, if I try to find something. I mean, I think a lot of people can relate to, I often feel insecure, even though I worked for I don't know how many years, and I think I'm quite good at what I do. But still, you know, I wonder too much what people will think of me, even in the podcast. You know, I've done so many podcasts now, but I still can't really find this, in Star Trek, you have this force field of blocking out negative or handling negative feedback or my own thoughts. Can you just give us like an overview what you would do if I were your client or if we had a session?
I mean, there's two parts. There's the long-term and training and the short-term training. And the long-term training is when I work with coaching clients over a longer period, then we do include the mental training. And one part of the mental training is the self-esteem and the self-confidence training, which I believe is very powerful, and I think everyone needs this because every parent is doing their best to raise their children, but I think everyone has scars from their upbringing.
For sure.
From their parents or from the other kids in school or whatever. So raising your self-esteem with mental training, that's the long term. But that takes a couple of weeks of training, so that's not going to happen like that, you know? So there's also these, you know, quick techniques that you can do with NLP and stuff, and a lot of it is in the body language. You know, you can notice when you're more worried, where are your shoulders, where is everything, and when you're more relaxed, where is the breathing. I mean, you have breathing experts on your show as well. So a lot of things are connected with the breath. So, you know, start by relaxing your shoulders, just taking a deep breath, and when you breathe out, you relax, these kind of things. And then you can work with triggers. So you can, I would work with triggers, meaning that you associate positive emotions to something. Like basically I would have my client get into a positive state where flood him with positive memories, or whatever emotional state he wants to get into. And then I would attach a trigger to it. So it would be something physical, you know. Like I have this one, for example, I can touch my ring and then I'm flooded with positive emotions because I triggered this to. So if I do I do a lot of keynotes and a lot of speaking, if I get nervous, I can just I'll touch my ring and then this is associated with positive memories. And then the smile comes back. These kind of things.
Nice.
I like to work with technology a lot. You know, like I have this concept I call strategic tech coaching, which includes technology. And that means that I would use technology in a positive way. There's a lot of negative things with technology, but there's a lot of positive things as well. And one thing is, I mean, now it's so easy. If you have Spotify, you can have all the music in the world in your phone. In the old days, you know, you had to go and buy LP records, you know. But now, like, you can just put on, so it's very easy to put on a song where you have positive memories too, if you want to put yourself in a good state.
Nice. That's nice tips for the audience.
Yeah, exactly. So like for your example, if you're doing an interview with someone and you want to like get in a good state before, you know, like put on some Avicii or whatever, put you in a positive state just before, and you know, then you can use music as a trigger, because music, there's a lot of positive associations.
Yes, agree. I mean, that's a great tip. I haven't thought of it like that before. So I think the listeners can also resonate with that. Having a, I had one client actually. He had this Lil Jon song, "Turn Up for What?" So I think it's called. We can link to it on. It's really hyped up, and he used it before he went on stage and gave his keynote. So he was perhaps too much fire. All over the place.
Tony Robbins style, huh?
Something like that. But you mentioned NLP, Oscar, and I don't think we have talked about NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, on the podcast before. And I know you read a lot, and I also think you're a coach in NLP as well, right?
Yeah, there's different certifications in NLP and different levels. I'm the first level, so practitioner, certified NLP practitioner. And NLP is interesting. You know, they started with modeling, looking at, in the 70s, they looked at successful therapists in US and looked at what they were doing and tried to elicit strategies from those so success leaves clues, basically. And I mentioned Tony Robbins. He was one of the early NLP. He was certified, I think, by John Grinder and Bandler, the original guys. So, NLP is, there's a lot of different techniques in NLP that you can use to change emotional states and these kind of things. So,
I mean, I think it ties in well. And for the, I think you're going to put this on your YouTube channel, right? Later. I will upload it. We'll see. But if you watch the video for this interview, you can see that Oscar has a million books in the background. And one that I can see there, I'm pointing at the screen. I know nobody can see this. I don't know why I'm doing it. but the Anthony Robbins book is there. And I read it, I think, 10 or 15 years ago. And I heard a bit about NLP, but he simplifies it in that book. And pretty much as you say, you model someone. If you want to be like someone, let's say Barack Obama, what's his posture? How is he speaking? And if we try to mimic that, that's modeling, I think, if I understand it like correctly.
Yeah.
I will start after a while produce the same results as he has, or at least better results or similar results, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you and there's a lot of things you can do. You can also look at the mental models of that person, and then you need to go deeper and, you know, see what is he believe, what is his beliefs, you know, what is his core beliefs. And so, yeah, but exactly, that's kind of look at successful role models and then see what they're doing and try to mimic it. And you know, that's
Awesome. That was NLP. Do you use NLP when you teach or speak, or is that more like something that you have in the back of your head or
in the background? In NLP, there's a lot of different, it's like a toolbox. So there's a lot of different things you can do with it. And so it depends a little bit on the client. Mm-hmm. What they're looking for. I work with entrepreneurs, for example, and there's something called the Disney strategy, which is quite interesting and one of the models that I like. And it's basically the creative process that Disney was doing. And it's that there's the dreamer, the doer, and the critical the analyst. And it's different ways of doing this. So when you're the dreamer and you're being creative, it's good to be in nature, for example, or to look up. So apparently Disney had a special room where he was creative, and then he would look up because it stimulates. So the doer is the one that takes, so first you have the dreamer, and then you have the critical, the analyst that analyze the dream. So you know, when you do brainstorming, you don't criticize any of the ideas. You just try to do as many ideas as possible. So being the dreamer is a different stage than the doer and the analyst. So yeah, that's a model that I like to work with when I work with entrepreneurs. They need to come up with something new. So you start dreaming, just coming up with as many ideas as possible. And then the critical thinker is like, then you start to analyze, okay, which one should we actually act upon? And then the doer is, you know, taking it and turn it into an action plan, you know. So that's one of those models that I like. But I have this concept. My own concept, the strategic tech coaching concept, it comes from I wrote a book a couple of years ago. I released it to, I think, 2013. I call it Smartphone Coaching. And that mm-hmm. means that you take everything that you do and you use your phone as extra accountability for implementation. Mm. Because we all know that you can read books and books and books, but if you don't implement, nothing happens. Mm. So Smartphone Coaching System, in the book, I just share like a few ideas that you need to do every day. And that's how you see a change. It's not like taking 100 ideas, and you take a few and you do it every day. And later, like last year or 2 years ago, I changed the name to Strategic Tech Coaching, because I was thinking, I'm building a brand around smartphones, but maybe in 5 years we don't even have smartphones because you never know, the technology might change. So it's about taking strategies and then using technology and coaching to implement those strategies. And the strategies could be, you know, depending on your goal. So I work with a model I call III, which is inspiration, information, implementation. So first you need inspiration to change, and then you look for the information, and that is like modeling that we talked about in the NLP. You find someone else that's done it and look at, you know, you learn, and then the last part is implementation. So for me, to turn dreams into reality, you need all three parts. You need the inspiration, you need the information, and you need the implementation. And information nowadays is easier than ever. You know, in the old days, only the rich people could send, you know, their kings and daughters if you were in Sweden, they would send their kids to the universities down in Europe, you know, like, you know, 300-500 years ago. So it was only the rich people that had access to information. But now, if you have an internet connection, it doesn't matter where you are in the world, we have access to amazing information. And so information is not longer the problem. It's almost the opposite. There's too much information. So it's about finding the right information and then implementing that into your daily life. And when I talk about inspiration, I talk about goals. I talk about dreams. I talk about, you know, what do I actually want to do? You know, for a couple of years now, I've been doing a goal seminar that I call TUGS, the Ultimate Goal Seminar. That is that we go out in nature. I started in Dubai, actually, and I took people out in the desert, and I helped them with that first part, the inspiration part. So we go out and we move the conference room out in the desert. So we sit on a sand dune.
Nice.
Have like a coaching process where we help them identify their goals and dreams and all this. And then when the sun is setting, they're sitting on the sand dunes and, you know, in the now, being mindful. The mind is triggered because we talked like in the DC strategy, and when you look up. So I'm sitting on a sand dune. It's similar to like sitting on an island in outside Gothenburg looking at the ocean.
Yeah.
It stimulates. Nice. Something happens in your brain. Nature. I started doing that a couple of years ago, and then I also done in other locations now because I realized it's not about the desert, it's about nature. So I think also a lot of creativity comes from nature. So that's some of the things that I'm working on right now.
I mean, this is good. This is really good. I think this is really smart to work in nature. Do you think it's related to, I think the English word is the feeling of awe, you know, wow, that you, if you climb up, I don't know, a mountain here in Gothenburg, or as you said, out in the archipelago in Stockholm or whatever, and you watch
in
nature.
In the forest in Dalsland.
Yeah, exactly. So you're kind of like, wow, you're like, that also triggers the creativity. Do you think that's perhaps related?
Yeah, it could be. I'm not sure, but I know that the biggest thinkers, they always got their best ideas in nature. It was not like Einstein was sitting in his lab and got his ideas. He got his ideas in nature. Leonardo da Vinci, the same thing. So creativity, there's something that happens when we are in nature. I don't know what it is, but like when we're sitting on a sand dune and looking at the sun setting, your mind is stimulated. So, and you don't have to use the desert. You can, like in Sweden, there's so much nature. You can just, like you're saying, you go up on a hill and look at the view, and then something happens in our body. So.
I mean, every time I should walk in or hike more, because it's such great nature, at least in my opinion, here in Sweden. Because every time, you know, I do it with a friend or my partner with a kid or someone, I always feel, you know, refreshed. Even though my body might be worn or torn, my brain feels energized. So I think a lot of people can relate to it and feel it intuitively that it feels right. Way of thinking.
My mother used to force us out on like walks in the forest when I was like a teenager, and I used to hate it. But now I actually love it. So whenever I'm in Sweden, I try to go for a walk in nature. It's nice. Here, we got locked down in Dubai maybe 3-4 weeks ago, but just like 2 days before the lockdown, it was similar as in Sweden. They were encouraging people to stay home, but we were still allowed to go out. And I took the car and I drove 20-25 minutes into the desert, and I sat on a sand dune by myself, and it was just amazing. And so yeah, being locked up now for a few weeks, I realize how much I miss nature.
Okay, I think I think people will be inspired by this. Very good. But circling back, or like talking about goals, you mentioned the TUGS, the Ultimate Goal, a seminar that you have as a product or service. I mean, you also talked about habits and accountability. So if we just walk through an overview of how perhaps if I have a goal, I don't know, let's say, is money a good example to have something saved, or what example do you usually have?
Yeah, I mean, it could be money, or it could be something that you want to do, or like a new career or whatever. It depends on your situation, but like I said, inspiration, information, implementation. Inspiration normally comes from either desperation or inspiration. So if you're desperate, this means like you have a big problem that you need to solve, you know. And inspiration is just like some attractive goal that you're like, oh, I would really like to go do this, like I would really like to take a course in this, or and you know what I find interesting is if you go back to anything in your life, something that you've done or something you achieved, and you think, what was the actual process behind this? And it always starts as a seed in your brain. It always starts as a dream. if you think about the podcast that you have, when did you actually, what was the process behind starting your podcast?
It's a fascinating story, but long story short, I had this guy, a Danish guy, shooting arrows. I saw it on YouTube. He could jump and like do a 360 and shoot an
apple. I've seen this guy. Yeah.
It's like viral on YouTube. And I said, I would like to learn archery, I said to my friend. And somehow I wanted to do a podcast on archery. I didn't know anything about archery. And I heard this concept. This was, I don't know, 6 years ago or something. So that's how it started. And then I just did a pilot with my friend, and then it started to roll, because I really enjoy, as we talked a bit about before this show, learning. And you know, what's the best way to learn? From other people, smarter people, different people, positive people. So that's how it started.
Okay. Yeah, no, so that's with everything in life, when you think back to it, there was a seed somewhere. And that was the spark of inspiration, you know. And then it's like you start picturing it in your mind, like, oh shit, it would be pretty cool to have a podcast. Like, imagine I can interview people all over the world, and you know. And then you go from the inspiration to information, and you know, you start googling, okay, how do I start a podcast? Like, and then implementing. Then you take all those that information and implement it, and there you go. You turn a dream into reality. You know? So, I mean, personal development books or more self-help books, they always talk about that dream, you know, the goal. So it's an important part, I think, of everyone's life. But then there's also this, you know, woo-woo thing, the law of attraction stuff, that you just sit on your sofa and visualize, and then it comes to you. But that's, you know, having the dream and the goal and visualizing your goal is just one step of the whole dream to reality process. You also need to take actions, you know. But in my experience, and based on the people I've been talking to, something do happens when you have it planted in your subconscious mind. When you visualize it over and over again, things start to happen, you know. So there is something to it. But of course, you need to take action steps, and ideally like some small action steps every day, you know.
Yeah. Good. I think one book that comes to mind when you mentioned your smartphone coaching system, accountability is habits. And I would like to recommend the listeners an idol of mine called James Clear. That's the prequel, pretty much. The Power of Habit, Oscar, just showed on the screen. But James Clear has a book called Atomic Habits, which pretty much, in essence, is, don't try to, you know, do 100 episode podcast in one day. If that's your dream, start with one, and then, you know, maybe next week try another one, or next month, or if that is your dream.
I'm also into productivity, same like you, and habit is one big part of it. And I actually started reading his book 2 weeks ago, the James Clear book. So I'm halfway through it, and it's really good, actually. I love it. So it's a good recommendation from you.
Awesome. The smartphone coaching system.
Yeah.
You mentioned accountability. Can you take us like through how you vision how your smartphone can help you, not smartphone, perhaps technology, how that can help?
Yeah, exactly. What I saw when I got into personal development and learning and all this is that there's a lot of people that likes to learn, but they don't implement. I went to these courses, and it happened to me as well. You know, if you read an amazing book, you know, like maybe 10, 15 years ago, you read, you know, like 7 Habits of Highly Successful People. Amazing book. I read it, and then I read it again the next year, and I was like, I underline all these things, but I haven't done shit about it. You know, I realized like, wait a minute, what this book is saying is great, but if I don't do anything with it, then nothing is going to happen. And then when I studied mental training, when I did a mental training course, I mean, Uno Stolz talks about the PAT principle, practice, apply, train, practice, apply, train. So that's the way to mastery. I mean, teaching is, of course, I would add teaching to that, because teaching is the best way to master something. But it's by practicing, applying, and training that you go from just knowledge to competence. So I was thinking, what is the best way of doing this? And 2007, when I was living in Stockholm, me and my friend, we used to meet up like once a month and share, like, okay, what are you working on? What are your goals? And, you know, what is your action plan? So we kind of hold each other accountable. So I'm like, same like working with a coach or a physical trainer, or like a personal trainer. But when I moved to Dubai, I couldn't do that because he was still in Stockholm and I was in Dubai. So what we did is we started a Google document. Mm. At that time, it was like pretty high tech, you know, in the cloud. And so so I would put down like, okay, in February, I want to do this, this, and this. And then he could see my goals and I could see his goals. Yeah. And that was like the seed that started, like, actually, there's a lot of things you can do with technology to help you with this inspiration, information, implementation. So that's how it kind of started. And then accountability is like now when I work with coaching clients in my longer programs, I would be on WhatsApp with them. Yep. So then we could do something. For example, if let's say we say that they're going to do 10 push-ups every day or whatever the goal they have, they want, then each time they do the 10 push-ups, they would send a message to me on WhatsApp. It's very easy, you know, but the phone is very easy now with accountability and to be connected. So you don't have to work with me or a coach. You can work with just tell a friend, like, listen, in a couple of months, I want to run this much. So every Sunday, I'm going to try to run 5K. And if you don't hear from me on Sunday through WhatsApp, then give me bamboo.
Exactly.
So basically having accountability. Sometimes I compare it with, you know, Skalman in Bamse. He had the mat och sovklockan. This is for the Swedish listeners. But,
yes, it's very Swedish, I think.
Yeah. So there's this cartoon, and the scientist guy, he had like a special watch that told him when to eat and when to sleep. And you can just do the same thing with your phone. You know? So depending on the goals you have, but there's a lot of things you can do with the phone to help you accountable. It's as simple as putting reminders, you know. That's
yeah. I'm trying to find a. I did an episode, a mini episode. When was this? Released the 6th of October 2016. That's 4 years ago, roughly, when I shared my thoughts on accountability and accountability partner. And at that time, we also used, me and my friend, we also used WhatsApp. And to save time, we recorded, you know, what we used the one thing method. So one thing that I have to do today that will make everything else easier or unnecessary. And in the morning, I send like a voice, short 30 to 30 seconds or something. And he did the same. But the thing with that, you know, it's asynchronous communication. So he listened to it when he has time. And then at the end of the day, we checked in and he told me, yes, it's done or it's not done. And then we met from time to time. We're not doing that anymore. And if people have problems with finding, because I think it's also important that you're at the same wavelength, right? If you have a coach, that's of course the optimal, I think, because then you have like a professional relationship. It's more, I think, you are more ashamed if you pay someone and not deliver, is your money down the drain pretty much. But otherwise, I guess you can do it yourself, but then I guess you have to be very motivated and disciplined, I guess. Yeah. What do you think?
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, I use an app called Winstreak, which is where you every day you write down three things that was good that day and three things you want to do next day. And then you kind of like visualize those things. And it's an app that helps you with accountability. But I think, yeah, it's good, like you're saying, find someone like-minded that is on the same journey as you, same path of, you know, becoming a better person and, you know, come up with whatever you want to do. And then, it's good if you can have another person actually as an accountability partner. It's a great And I mean, if you have the money, I think you should invest in a coach. The return on investment is so good on these things. So, but if you don't have the money at the moment, just find a friend that is also on the same path.
Yes, and if you don't have any friends, try to read a book and find friends, or skip the friends and do it on your own. But
or listen to the flawed podcast.
Yes, very good, I used for several years on a similar app that Winstreak, that's called Coach.me. I've written a bit about it on the site. It's like a habit tracker. You know, you have the daily habits, so that can also work. You can also get coaches there. I think I'm still a coach there, I guess, but not really super active. So what mistakes in your experience, Oscar, does people do? Why do we not? I mean, a lot of people dream, and then some percentage of that set goals with deadlines and all the following the protocol. Why aren't more people reaching their goals?
That's a good question. I guess there is a lot of obstacles to change. And I mean, we are most of it, I think, I don't know, but they say like 98, I don't know how many of your thoughts from yesterday were the same as today, but the majority of the thoughts that you thought yesterday are the same as today. So it is, it takes work to do it. And it seems like not everyone is willing to do it. There's a philosopher called Ken Wilber, and he talks about showing up, growing up, waking up, and cleaning up. And the first part is showing up. And that's, most people don't even show up, you know. Showing up means do the work. Like you and me, we're into this. We like to learn, we like to read, and we like to do these things. But not everyone, majority of the people are not. You know, they prefer watching Netflix or whatever they do. But showing up is the first step. You need to do the work, you know. And then growing up is, you know, getting perspectives and learning about the world. And waking up is the spiritual journey, which you do with meditations and these kind of things. And cleaning up is cleaning up your shadows. So I think you need to work on all these things. And in mental training, Unestål did the research on why information campaigns is not enough. They did this big information campaigns, I think about cigarettes, where they in the 80s and the 90s or and other things. But information is not enough, you know. You need the inspiration and the implementation. And we tend to fall into our habits. So that's why habits is a big part of it. So that James Clear book that you recommended, that's one way, you know. So for example, when you do mental training, you need to do it every day for you to see a change. And it can be difficult for many people. So the best way is to do it together with something else, you know.
Habit stacking, you call it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So these brushing the teeth and then doing mental training or vice versa.
Exactly. Yeah. So connected with something that you're already doing, you know. I think that the habits, so in the smartphone coaching, I talked about a few things that you do every day, that's the way, you know. So maybe you talked about the one thing, but for me now, I like to do three things every day, and those things that are really taking me to the next level. So I don't have to do 20 things.
Tell us the three things that you do.
No, but it's different every day. But what are the three things that I need to do today?
See.
So I don't have 15 things on I may have 15 things on the to-do list, but if I just finish those three, it's a good day. That's one thing. And then, the habits, eventually, if you do it every day, you know, it's the grit and the persistence, you know. It's not always easy, but it's always worth it. And it's also this, no one is perfect. It's about striving to become better, to be on this lifelong journey on, becoming a better person. And for example, I was at a congress a few years ago with Unestol for mental training. He does these trips around the world, and we go to different congresses. So we were in a congress in India. We were 50 people, mental trainers from Sweden, and you know, and we were listening to the speakers. And in the audience, I see Professor Unestol, that has been working with this for more than 50 years, taking notes like crazy, listening to one of the speakers. The speaker was not even that good. I was like zoning out, looking at my phone. And then I look up and I see him taking notes, listening, and like, so he's still learning, still trying to become a better person after all these years. So that's, I think it's one of the keys, you know. And I mean, sometimes I have days when I don't do all these things. I just end up sleeping on the sofa the whole day. But, you know, then, okay, that was that day. Now get up next day. What can I learn from this? And how can I do it better the next day, you know? So,
I mean, I think the concept, what is it called in mental training? Learning for life or something like that, right?
Yeah. Learn in life, for life, for the entire life, during life. So you also use life as a textbook, you know. Learn in life, learn for life, learn during your entire life. Yeah, something like this. So it's a nice model.
Yeah. So what kind of actions do you want the listeners? I mean, it's perhaps a hard question, but what should the listeners do in your opinion? How can they start to move more into the world of strategic tech coaching, into setting goals? What did we talk about more? Dreams and also making the dreams reality with setting goals and having this, what do we call it? Mental toughness. What kind of action steps do you want the listeners to do now?
Yeah, some action steps. There are a couple of things that I when I do keynotes that are like the most popular, like top three, or let's say. And one is that you go out in nature and you sit and dream and think about your goals. What you want to do the next year. You break it down to something measurable, and then you find pictures online that represent those goals. So let's say you have 3-4 goals. So maybe you want to become more fit, you want to make more money, you want to get a promotion, or whatever your goals are. You find pictures that represent those goals and you put them in the phone as your goal folder. So now you have 4 or 5 pictures of those goals. So you can just, anytime you're waiting for the bus or whatever, you're at the supermarket, you're standing in line, you take out your phone and you flip through your goal folder. And that reminds you, okay, yeah, this is what I'm working towards. So that's one of the things. I work a lot with pictures with my clients. Another thing is, I mean, all these thinkers and philosophies and religions, they normally talk about the importance of being grateful, you know. So that's the other way. You think about, you know, the top 5 or 10 things that you're grateful for. Maybe I heard you had a 2-year-old. Did you have a daughter? Or?
Yeah, correct. 2.5 years.
Yeah, so you... Yeah, so you collect pictures of the people you love that you're grateful for in your life, or memories that you're grateful for, like cool things that you've done, like maybe some cool trip, or, you know, some cute pictures of your daughter, and you put that in your gratefulness folder. And now you can link those two as well. So you start by going through your gratefulness folder and getting into that state of being grateful. You look at your daughter, how cute she is. You look at those cool memories that you've done. So you come into the positive state of mind. And then you go into your goal folder. So you visualize your goals, and then you're already in that positive state of mind when you go through your goals. That's another of those action steps that you can.
Nice.
Yeah. So that's another one that is quite popular that I talk about is collecting magic moments. So every month, make it a kind of like a sport to collect magic moments. And for me, magic moments is just, you know, something that a little bit different, something that I enjoy doing that makes me happy, you know. Take a picture of it and put it in your magic moments folder. So over the years, I've done this for maybe 5-6 years now, so I have hundreds of pictures in my magic moments folder. So anytime I want to change my emotional state, I can just go into my magic moments folder, just take any picture from there, and I can just look at that picture, get back into the memory. Sometimes I look at the picture, I close my eyes, and I just feel like I've I love skiing, for example. So we went to Åre skiing with my brother, and you know,
nice.
I take a picture. I have a picture of that in my Magic Moments folder. So I look at the picture. I think about the whole day, you know, like, oh, I remember we did this, and I can just get back into that emotional state. So
nice.
Collect magic moments. That's. Have you heard of Jim Rohn?
Yes, he's one of my. Yeah.
He's a legend.
He's rest in peace. But he's one of the persons. His way of talking and writing. I've saved so many of his articles. I think I have 150 of them. I bought pretty much
amazing,
everything.
He has this quote saying, life is a collection of experiences, frequency and intensity. So collect those magic moments with frequency quite often and intensity. And for me, I like a little bit adventure and doing different things. So because when you do something completely different than your normal, like, if you're not into horseback riding, you go horseback riding. And, you know, that's a memory that, you know, will always be with you because it's so different than your normal life. So, no. And, yeah, okay, so the last advice, go to YouTube and watch Jim Rohn for half an hour today. Learning is so easy now. Jim Rohn is amazing.
Yeah,
amazing,
I mean,
guy.
you can't go wrong with Jim Rohn. If you read something or listen to him and don't like it, I would say there's something wrong with you. Just let me know. I have to talk to you, because then I don't know. I really love that guy.
It's like a wise grandfather that you like. Wise grandfather that gives you life advice, you know.
Yeah, I mean, every time I'm struggling with something, I'm heavily into Evernote, so I just searched the Jim Rohn tag, and then I just read it yesterday. You know, his way of thinking about discipline, and you know, he has so many quotes, but one I really like is, you know, how tall will a tree grow? And it will never stop. It will try to grow as much as it can, but how come we humans just, you know, settle? I get a job, okay, then it's good. And you know, the ant philosophy, so many things.
How many books should you read? As many as you possibly.
Exactly. Oscar, this was great. Now something happened with my, there, I'm back. So I'm just gonna summarize here and ask some follow-up questions. So one, go to nature, sit and dream. And then number two, get some metrics for that dream so you can measure it. And number three, add some pictures to your dream in a goal folder and link that to a gratefulness folder. So for instance, the people you love, or also create a magic moments folder. That's perhaps number five. If you love skiing, add that. And number six is just check out Jim Rohn. But I want to ask you a follow-up for these folders. And I mean, I personally would recommend Evernote for this. But what do you use when we're recording this?
Yeah. Now, I looked into Evernote a couple of years ago. But at that time, I think I needed a paid version. So I actually just use Notes from my phone.
The built-in app.
Yeah, with the built-in app. I'm sure Evernote is much better. But do you have the paid version of Evernote or the free version?
Yeah, I'm an Evernote certified consultant, so I have special. I mean, if the listeners, I'm so bad at marketing, but if you want to use Evernote for your company, just contact me. I think we're three in Sweden.
Okay.
Evernote is great. There's also another app called Notion. There's so many apps, but Notion is one that I would check out. For perhaps the younger audience, it's a startup.
Yeah. At the time, I mean, I was checking it out. It was, I think, because Tim Ferriss was recommending it. And the problem I had at that time, I think for the free version, you couldn't access your notes without an internet. And I was traveling quite a lot, so I wanted to have the notes.
Oh, yeah, for the free version, that's correct. Yeah.
So, but yeah, anyway, I mean, to have a system for collecting your ideas and your notes, I think it's great. And that's also part of strategic tech coaching that you know, for example, Jim Rohn is big into journaling, but the problem yes. I have with journaling is I leave them everywhere. But if you put it on Evernote or in the notes section, like in the cloud, it will always be there with you. So, yeah, that's...
I really believe in journaling, but also you have to, of course, review it and have that. That's why I recommend to use one app, because one of the problems, as you started this conversation with, or where we started, there's so much information, so many apps. You get the information overload just to check how many apps you have on your phone. If you ask your friend, I mean, this is also a good challenge, perhaps ask your friends to send you screenshots of what their phone look like, the phone desktop. If it's cluttered, does that reflect how their brain work? Or if it's minimalist, are they minimalist? It's just a fascinating thought.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're closing up. I mean, I think it was a great talk. So many good takeaways. Where can people find more about you, your books, seminars? How can we connect people with you, Oscar?
Yeah. So the coaching concept that I was talking about is strategictechcoaching.com. And it's the same on Instagram, Strategic Tech Coaching. The smartphone coaching domain doesn't work anymore, but if you want to buy the book, Smartphone Coaching, it's on Amazon. And you can also buy the physical book from Buenavida.se, which is a Swedish company that I collaborate with. But strategictechcoaching.com is the where you can find more information. Also on YouTube channel and you know this. So that's the place. And thank you so much. It was fun to talk with a like-minded person yes, that likes to learn.
likewise, Oscar. The final question that I try to ask each episode is called K-Wink, knowing what I now know. So from your life, going back perhaps before you moved to Dubai or, I don't know, 10 years ago, what would you have done differently if you could talk to yourself? What would you have perhaps started sooner, or what would you have not done? Or,
two things. That the first thing that came to mind was the first one was not worry that much. You know, I used to worry a lot, in like 10, 15 years ago, but worrying doesn't really serve you. So worrying is let go of worrying and just trust that it will all be okay. You know. And also, now I think I started mental training maybe 10 years ago or 11 years ago. But yeah, I think mental training or some kind of meditation technique, that's something I wish I would have started even earlier. Those two. Let go of worry. It's going to be fine, you know. And start.
How can I let go of my worry? I worry too much, especially as a father.
Okay. One guy that I recommend you to look into is a method called the Sedona method. It's a guy called Hale Dvoskin, and he has it's a simple method to let go of worry. And it's just when you ruminate, when you think about all these things, just allow yourself to feel the emotion and then feel it and then just let it go. Could you let it go? Would you let it go? When? Now. So instead of like fighting the emotion, you kind of go into the emotion and feeling it. So, but yeah, again, you can learn more from him on YouTube. So just search Sedona Perfect. Method, Sedona.
Thanks a lot. Mm. And thanks a lot for taking the time out of Dubai to speak with me and the audience. We will link to everything, to the website and to the book. And thank you, Oscar, for being on the Float Podcast.
My pleasure. It was a lot of fun. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Strategic Tech Coaching Podcast with your host, Oscar Andermo. We'll catch you next time.